Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God, we just thank you for this time. We just pray now that, Father, as we open your word, speak right into our hearts. Do what you need to do this morning. Lord, we just surrender before you, Father. Lay ourselves before you, Father God. Just invite you to come and do whatever needs to be done. Work in us, change us, shape us, speak to us, inspire us, motivate us, move us. God, we pray. Father God, I thank you for the life within the pages of your word. God, I pray it will be alive among us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you got your Bible and you want to open it with me up to Joshua chapter 6, we're going to dive right in there. It's a well-known scripture. It's a well-known story that you would have heard many times. If you came through the system, if you like, as a child through Sunday school and things like that, it would have been a well-told, well-known story. But we're going to look today at the fall of Jericho. And I call the title of this message, When You Hit the Wall. When you hit the wall. So Joshua 6 says, Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the... Where were we? And just as Joshua commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continuously. But Joshua commanded the people, You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continuously. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days. And on the 7th day they rose early at the dawn of day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. All the way down then to verse 20. So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. And as the trumpets were blown, and as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. When you hit the wall. When you hit the wall. What do? When you hit the wall. See, God had plans, God had promises, God had provision, and God had purpose in mind for this nation. God had a bright future in his heart. God had a bright future in mind for them. And for the opening 5 chapters of Joshua, they were journeying. They were making steps towards that. They were progressing towards that which God had in his heart and in his mind for them when one day they hit a wall. You would have heard me say now, you know, that I enjoy my running. I've often mentioned that. And that is a phrase that we often heard here used in running circles. I hit a wall. Until recently, it was an experience that I'd never had before. I'd never known what it was to hit the wall. I'd heard people speak about hitting the wall, but I'd never hit the wall myself. And back in October, a few of us, myself, John, and some of our friends, we ran a half marathon at Peterborough, the first one I've ever done of that kind of distance, run of that kind of distance. And for 10 miles of that, actually, I felt pretty good. I felt okay. And I was quite enthused and quite motivated and quite stirred. The atmosphere was great. There's people cheering you on, giving you free jelly babies. There was music that was pumping. And for 10 miles, I was kind of ticking along. I wasn't like tearing up any trees or anything like that. It wasn't like phenomenal pace. But I was ticking along, doing all right for 10 miles. And I think John hit the wall after about two. But anyway, hey, that's another story. Jokes. Anyway, at 10 and a half miles, suddenly I hit the wall. And suddenly what happened to me was I felt this big internal battle began. And it was all around the fact that I didn't feel I was going to make progress anymore. And I started thinking of plausible ways that I could quit. And, and this internal battle started going on inside of me. And my legs felt heavy. They didn't want to move anymore. And I only had like 2.5 miles to go, but they felt like the longest 2.5 miles of my life. And I knew I was getting near, but I hit the wall and energy levels drained and enthusiasm drained and everything was kind of going out of my body. And I knew that if I was going to continue to make progress, I had to overcome or break through the wall in order to finish and reach the destination that I had in my heart to make. Do you know that as we walk with God, both individually and as a church, we will experience times like that. We will experience seasons where we're going along, we feel good, we feel motivated, we feel enthused, both individually in our walk with God and together as a church, and then suddenly we hit a wall. We hit a wall, and actually in that moment battles begin, and it's all about, are we going to be able to continue to make progress? Are we going to be able to move beyond this wall of an issue that has presented itself? In verse 1 of chapter 6, it says this. It says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in." Why do we hit a wall as Christians? Why do we hit a wall as a church? Because, friends, whenever you set out in your heart and resolve in your heart that you are going to make progress, the enemy will do whatever he can do to shut it down. He will do whatever he can do to shut down progress. When you say in your heart, "I'm going forward with God," when you say as a church, "We're moving forward with God," this has been a big eye-opener for me as this Our Story thing. When people set out and say, "We're moving forward," the enemy will do whatever he can to shut it down, to lock you out of the future that God has in his heart and God has in his mind for you, for the good stuff that lies ahead. And he will build walls before us, and he will say, "This is now too big an issue," and we'll talk about some of them walls in a moment, in your life. You can't get any further because if you have hit a wall, you have hit an issue, and you cannot get beyond this. And do you know that obstacles and challenges often stand between where we are and where God wants us to be? We will hit the wall. You think, "Gee, he's really cheering me up this morning." Well, praise God, I hope to show you how you can break through the wall. So the first thing I want to say to you this morning is this, okay? Walls block your view, okay? Walls block the view. See, when Israel arrived at this point in time, all they could see was the wall. That was all that they could see. They couldn't see actually what lay beyond the walls. And, you know, God had amazing stuff beyond those walls for them, but they couldn't see it. And that happens when you hit a wall. It's often the case that when you hit a wall, whatever that wall might be, and there can be walls of disappointment, there can be walls of sickness, depression, failure, loneliness, anger, brokenness, offense, whatever that wall might be, when you hit that wall, what often happens is you cannot see anything else other than the wall. And actually, the truth is that people say God has good for you beyond that wall, but you can't see it because all you can see is the size of the issue that you're faced with. All you can see is what is in front of you. You see, walls, they block perspective. And God knew it. And God knew it. And God needed them to see. In verse 2, that's what he says. So he speaks into the midst of that. They've hit the wall. And the Lord says to Joshua, See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. God knew that they would find it hard to not just look at the wall. God knew the natural response of the people would be to focus on the wall. And when they focused on the wall, the size of what was in front of them, because these walls of Jericho were huge, would lead them to a place where they would feel overawed, where they would feel defeated. And ultimately, the longer they looked at that wall and they studied that wall, the more impossible the idea of breakthrough would have ever become. And so God knew that all they might see would be a wall. Look at the size of the moat, or the, you know, the ditch, or whatever he calls it there in the video that's in front of it. Look at the archers that are on top of the wall. Look at the thickness of the wall. Look at the well-trained army that lie within the walls. And God has to speak into that, and he says, hey, I know you're feeling like you can't get through this. Maybe you might feel like you can't get past this, but you've got to take your eyes off the wall and look at me. He begins to speak and say, you've got to look at me. See, God needed them to see their situation differently. He needed to try and help them to change their perspective. He needed them to move from a natural assessment of what was lying before them to a faith one. See, breakthrough, friends, only becomes possible when our eyes move off of the wall and onto Jesus. So he says, see, I have given. I'm going to win this battle. I'm going to bring about this breakthrough. But please, he says to them, take your eyes off of the wall and get your eyes onto me. You see, often, as I just said, all we can see when we hit a wall is a wall. But the good news is this: God can see over the wall. God sees over the wall. God knows what's in his heart. God knows what lies beyond. God knows what he can do in your life. But the only thing that lifts our perspective to see beyond the problem, the walls of our problems and situations, is looking to God. And so as God speaks with Joshua, he says, Joshua, I want you to begin to lift your eyes and see beyond this wall. I am going to give you victory over this issue. And Joshua goes back to the people. He comes out of that encounter, that meeting with God, and he goes back to the people and he says, get ready, guys, we're going in. They're like, what? The walls are still up. The archers are still there. The ditch is still there. The walls are still as thick as they've always been. But he's met with God, and he's got his eyes on God. And Joshua's got his eyes off the wall, and he's looking at God. And he comes around and he says, hey, guys, get ready. Breakthrough is on its way. Faith in God begins to elevate your perspective of the situation. Faith in God begins to help you to begin to see over the wall, to see beyond what's in front of you. Do you know that one of the reasons, and I will just speak from my heart, one of the reasons that I felt that God put that whole thing to do with our story, that vision of our story, is because I feel, and I want to explain this, that as a church, we've hit something of a wall. Now, God has been good and God has done so much among us, but friends, much more is in his heart for us. Much more is in his heart for us. God intends to do much more. And whilst this is good and how far we've come is good, this is kind of, in terms of seeing this family grow, this is where we've been for a while. But there are many people outside of them doors that God wants to bring to himself. There are many people outside of them doors who God wants to save. There are many people who God wants to add into this family. And so maybe we hit a bit of a wall, but in our story, we stepped out by faith and finance and sacrifice and time and everything that went into it, we stepped out by faith. And do you know what actually happened for me? God let us see over the wall. God said, look what lies beyond. Look what is possible. Look what can be done. We reached, praise God, 200 people in 12 days. Thank you, Jesus. 200 people heard something of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. That's got to be reason to rejoice, friends. Hasn't it? Amen. God let us see over the wall. You know, when there's young people coming into youth on Friday who come to our story and saying, can I come every week? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God let us see over the wall. He showed us what's possible when our eyes are on him. He showed us that he has much more in his heart for us. So the first thing is, walls block our view. The second thing is, and this is not my phrase, to break through, we need to learn to circle the promise, not the problem. God had to get them to circle the promise and not the problem. In verse 3, he begins to speak to them. You're going to march around this city. Verse 3 and verse 7. Oh, no, don't put that up yet. Give all my points away. That's the last one. Sorry, I should have said that. That's my bad. Has it been up there a long time? Oh, it's all right then. Otherwise, that's job done. So, that's my fault. I didn't communicate that. So, circle the promise. So God says, hey, walk around those walls. Circle those walls. How many people know that must have felt like 7 days of the worst kind of deja vu ever? You know what I mean? You're just walking around looking at the same bricks, looking at the same arches, looking at the same situation, looking at the same thing. They're walking around for 7 days like that. They were literally must have felt like, because they were, going round in circles. And you see, when you circle something, the problem is when you're circling something, it's always there, isn't it? I mean, if I walk away from that, it's not there. But if I circle it, it's always there. And so as they're circling it, this problem is always there. This problem is kind of in the background. See, they're in the promised land at this point in time. They're coming into all that God has for them. God's doing good things among them. God's got so much more in store for them. But this issue, this wall, is continually there. And it's like it's spoiling the enjoyment of what God has in his heart for him. If you're saved this morning, you're in the promised land. But how many people know that even though you're in the promised land and God has done much good and God may have more good and does have more good in his heart for you, when there's a war, when there's an issue that's always there, it spoils your enjoyment of what God has in his heart for you and what God wants to do and your walk with God. It's like a spoiler. It's always there. It's like a deja vu wall. It's like a deja vu issue in your life. Why is this thing always there? But God speaks to Joshua and says, Joshua, it's how you circle it that's going to make all the difference. This nation had known something of circling before. They'd been circling in the wilderness and never got anywhere. But this time they were going to circle it in a very different fashion. And God says, it's how you circle it, Joshua, that's going to decide what happens here. You see, the instruction to circle in verse 3 came out of the promise of verse 2. God says, see, I have given this. See, I'm going to do this. See what I'm going to do. Now go and circle it. God was saying, Joshua, don't circle the problem. Circle the promise. There's a big difference. Andy, can you just come stand here for me for a moment, if that's okay? Just there. Just where you are, mate. Thank you. So, you know, Andy's a problem, just for now. I know it's hard to imagine, but just go with me, okay? He's a giant of an issue, right? Anyway, and so Andy's this, you know, Andy's like that wall just at this point in time. He's like a problem. He's an issue in my life. He's not really, but we're pretending he is now. And, you know, if I circle this and he's a problem and I'm just looking at it, all my eyes are just looking at this problem that's before me. And that's all I can see is what's before me. And God says, that's how you can circle. But actually, all that does is breed defeat, impossibility, and difficulty. Or God says, what you do is rather than, it's not that that's not there, but you have a choice where you learn to fix your eyes. And God says, rather than circling the problem, circle the promise. See, I can walk around this same wall, but this time my eyes are on the word of God. God, you say this. God, you say that wall's going to fall down. I'm not denying it's there, but God, you said you're going to give me victory. God, you're going to bring about breakthrough. God, you're good for your word. God, you're going to move in this situation. Can you see the difference? It's the difference is where I've put my eye. It's not that I'm denying the issues there. It's no good me coming to you saying to you, hey, you got a problem in your life? That's not real. Of course it's real. It's there. It's an issue. But the difference is, am I looking at that? Am I looking at that? Thanks, Andy. And so we have to learn, where do I fix my eye? And so he says, you know, circle the promise, not circle the problem. If I focus on a problem, it breeds fear. It breeds intimidation. But when I focus on the promise, it breeds faith. Number 3, God is often doing far more than you think. For 6 days, it looked like nothing was changing. You know, by day 4 or 5, I think I'd have been saying in my heart, because they do it in silence, and we'll come back to that in a minute, I could really do with some encouraging signs here, God. Do you know what I mean? After 4 or 5, you know, just a little bit of cement that could come down off that wall would kind of give me a bit of hope. You know, God, could you just put a bit of a crack in it or just cause the odd brick to tumble down? You know what I mean? And for 4 or 5 days, literally, there's nothing going on. Because what happens is that when we are facing situations, we're often looking for signs of breakthrough. We want to see a sign of change. We're looking for a crack we're looking for a brick to fall, something that's going to encourage us to keep going in that situation. Actually, when it doesn't happen and when it doesn't feel like anything's happening, how many people know it's really frustrating? It can feel incredibly frustrating, particularly when you are doing what you know to do and you are doing what you're meant to do. Because God says to them, Joshua, here's the commands, tell them. He tells them and they say, let's go, let's do it. We'll do what God says to do in this situation. They're doing what God says and it's like They're moving, but nothing is changing. Man, that's a frustrating place to find yourself. Yet actually, I want to put it to you, everything was changing. Everything was changing. They weren't aware of it. They weren't aware of it, but change was happening and change was on its way. I think I might have been tempted to blow up with frustration. God, these walls are really getting on my nerves. But they were just walking around and things were beginning to happen. Every day the word of God to them was, I know, don't blow up with frustration. Go again and trust me. And for 6 days they don't think a thing is shifting. But let me tell you, friends, I believe this. Every lap of faith was loosening a brick in that wall. Every lap of faith was loosening a brick in the wall. Because behind the scenes, when they were unaware of it, a moment of breakthrough was building. And imagine what would have happened if they packed in on lap 4, 5, or 6. You know, and sometimes it's tough when we face these things. But friends, don't pack in on laps 4, 5, or 6. Because God is often at work behind the scenes and a moment of breakthrough is building. And suddenly you'll see it and suddenly it will make sense. You know, one of the biggest lessons for me of this story is this. Just because I don't always see change doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. When Claire fell pregnant, it took a while for her body to catch up and show that change was happening. There was all sorts going on inside in her body, but it was a long time before anyone could look at her enough to know that she was pregnant. To the natural eye, you'd have looked at her and said, hey, nothing's happening, but everything was happening. Change was happening. Life was coming. Life was growing. And they didn't know it, but because of their faith, with every lap, God was at work and change was on its way. Number four, I want to say to you this. When you hit a wall, do the God thing, not just what seems the good thing. When you hit a wall, do the God thing, not just what seems the good thing. Because God says, Joshua, let's just talk tactics. And Joshua, you know, he's meeting with God. And Joshua's got to go back, the Bible says there. He's got to go back with a battle plan. And it says in verse 3, to men of war. To men of war, to priests, to the army, to the people. He's got to go back. And you kind of imagine men of war. I mean, it just sounds, doesn't it? Kind of, you know? Men of war. And I've got this image of these like guys thinking, right, well, if we are going to have to tackle this situation, you know, let's we better start kind of practicing climbing some ropes. Boys, get the battering ram out and have a practice swing. Lads, polish up your swords, shine up your shields, make sure you kind of all get your armor ready and cleaned up. And you imagine this kind of, you know, bunch of guys all sitting there and they're kind of going up and down ropes and they're practicing swinging the battering rams. And here comes Joshua and they're all trying somehow to get them psyched up for how they're going to defeat this wall. And Joshua comes over the hill and they're like, right, what's the battle plan? What's God got to say? You know, and Joshua arrives on the scene and says, yeah, okay, kind of about that. What you're going to do is you're going to, no weapons, you're not going to fight with weapons. You're going to walk around once a day. You're going to do it in total silence. On the last day, you're going to walk around 7 times and then you're going to shout, all right? You know, you imagine, what? Joshua, you're off your nut. Joshua, what are you talking about? That's not how you fight in these situations, blowing trumpets, lapping around, walking, not even shouting, not making any noise. And what's this doing it in silence thing? We're not even allowed to chat. We're not even allowed to talk. Well, that don't make sense, does it? Because we always associate volume with power. You know, like, so what you do when you face the enemy is you have a real good shout, because that's going to be the answer with that issue in your life. Ah, get out of my life! You know, so, whoa, they're moving in power. Well, actually, quiet confidence and trust and faith in God is incredibly powerful. And this kind of battle plan kind of comes back. And it's like, what's going on? See, because when we hit a wall, what we often think is, well, what's the good thing I can do here? What can we try and do to help deal with this issue? And here's God saying, no weapons, no talk. Don't go for what seems good. You got to trust me. And by the way, he says in verse 11 and 14, Joshua, every day after you've done a lap, just make sure you head back to camp and everyone gets a good night's sleep. Rest. I'll be like, rest. God, I've got a Jericho here. What do you mean rest? This thing's got to come back. And he's like, hey, I want you to go back and I want you to rest. I'll be like, God, you know, can't I just go up there and loosen a few bricks and help you out here? You know, God, can't I kind of just every now and then as we lap round, just kind of trying to lean against the wall and just kind of speed things up? And you're saying rest. And God's saying this, Joshua, because if you've got faith in me, rest. I've got it. I've got this. I'm going to take care of this. Not you. All I need you to do is trust me. Carry that ark, Joshua. Carry that ark, which represents the presence of God. Every day, keep me at the heart of the wall, before the wall that you're facing. Bring my presence. Every day, bring your wall into my presence and just say, hey, God, I believe you've got this. You see, whenever we hit a wall, what we really need to know is, God, what are you saying I need to do here? Not what is good, what is God? God, what are you saying? On the face of it, the plan seems crazy. But you know, breakthrough comes when you do the God thing, not just what seems the good thing. The breakthrough didn't come from the size of the army, the power of the weapons, or the skill of a leader. It came from faith in God. So don't throw natural solutions at your wall. Say, God, what do you want me to do? And do what he asks you to do. And trust him. Number five, good atmospheres bring breakthrough, not bad ones. See, God told him, okay, Joshua, silence. Joshua goes back to the boys and says, boys, no talking, no conversation, no distractions. We're going round in silence. Verse 10, you shall not shout, make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout, then you shall shout. Why silence? Well, how long would it have taken before someone piped up and brought an opinion or a criticism or a negative thought into the mix? You know, I don't think we should be doing it like this. I don't think this is what God would want us to do. Do you know what I mean? This is crazy. This is nuts. I liked it the way it was before. You know, why can't we just go back? Let's live on this side of the wall. Why do we have to break through into what God has got for us? And someone will be a bit negative and a bit critical. Joshua, oh my life, Joshua. You know what I mean? Or I doubt this is not going to change anything. And this kind of negativity would have been there. And do you know, when that kind of atmosphere comes, it feeds frustration, not faith. And that stuff stops you making progress. When you want to make breakthrough, friends, the last thing you need to do is be in an atmosphere. If you want to make progress in your relationship with God, and we do as a church, the last thing we need is an atmosphere of criticism and doubt and negativity. And so he says, you know, you've learned, they'd learned that lesson before. He doesn't say that, but they'd learned that lesson before in the wilderness. They'd learn it the hard way, because the Bible said they'd been negative, they'd been critical, they'd moaned, they'd murmured, they'd complained. And what happened? They never got anywhere. When they circled in that fashion, a whole generation just died out and they never made progress and came into what God had for them. Just, you know, just a newsflash, friends. Let me tell you, if you're negative and critical and you moan and you complain and you grumble all the time, it kills things. It kills things. I'm sorry, I must say it, but it kills atmospheres. It sucks life and oxygen out of an atmosphere. And so he says, actually, you got to, let's get this quiet here, Joshua, because, you know, if they'd have walked around that wall once a day, every day for 6 days and 7 days on the last lap, that's a lot of walking. And if people have started moaning and complaining and being critical and negative and everything like that, I don't even know if they've had the energy to get up and go again the next morning, because it just sucks life out of things. It's draining. Nothing is more energy sapping than atmospheres of negativity and criticism and moaning. How many people know good and healthy things are never produced or grow in bad atmospheres? So I listened to a guy recently talking about a prize, about this. He was helping in a like a big greenhouse where they were growing lilies abroad, and they were expensive lilies, really. Like, put a lot of money into these with the idea that they'd be prize winning and everything like that. And they could not get these lilies to grow, and they're just dying, and there was nothing being produced. And one of the lads who worked there, it just so happened that an old next door neighbor of his used to be a prize kind of winning lily grower. And he rung him up and said, can you just kind of come and check this out and see what's going on? And he walked into, and he said that day, he said, this guy walked into the greenhouse and said, you'll never grow anything in here. He said, what do you mean you're never growing anything? He said, the atmosphere's all wrong. And he says, the atmosphere in here, there's too much damp and too much wet and everything like that. He says, they'll be rotting like right down in the soil. And he just went up to this lily and he just opened it up. And sure enough, this guy said it was rotting right there. He knew, if you want to grow good things, if you want to produce life and health, you need good atmosphere. You need the right atmosphere. When you want to get breakthrough and you want to make progress, get in the right kind of atmosphere. Surround yourself with people who bring the right kind of atmosphere. Atmosphere where there is life. You see, one of the definitions of atmosphere is something that helps us to breathe. Get around those friends who help you to breathe. Who help you to breathe, who say, yeah, where there's life. God spent 5 days, I heard someone recently say, creating the right atmosphere before he told Adam and Eve, go and produce life. You know, before he brought Adam and Eve into the scene, and then go on to tell them to produce life. He spends days creating the right atmosphere before he then sees life come. You know, Glenn Barrett said, you may have the greatest vision statement, but if your atmosphere is bad, you'll never achieve it. And Joshua comes back with a great vision statement. God says he's given us the king. God's given us the mighty men. God's given us the city. But before that, God says to Joshua, Joshua, the first thing that's going to happen if you're going to break through, let's get the atmosphere right. I'm nearly done. He says, let's get the atmosphere right. He says, Josh, if you want a breakthrough, don't just be surrounded with an atmosphere of negativity. Establish an atmosphere of quiet confidence and faith and trust. And you see, it was in an atmosphere of quiet confidence and faith and trust. And it was among brothers who were also moving in quiet confidence and faith and trust that something was developing on the inside of these people. And it was a different kind of shout. God says, save your energy. Don't just shout at this thing. Don't just have a natural good old shout at it if you need a breakthrough. Quiet confidence and faith and trust was causing something to grow and build on the inside of them. And what was building? On the inside of them was building, as they were trusting God, a shout of victory. A shout of faith. A breakthrough shout. And my last point to you this morning is this. There's no wall and no issue that God can't bring down. There's no wall and no issue that God can't bring down. So what is your wall this morning? What is that issue in your life? What is that thing? These walls were huge at Jericho. These walls were intimidating. But Hebrews 11 verse 30 says this, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. You see, friends, God is not moved by the walls we face, but he is moved by the faith and trust we put in him when we face them. And whatever your wall this morning might be, I know this much. On the other side of it, God has plans, promises, provision, and purpose waiting for you. And God sees over your wall. And today he's just saying, hey, just put your faith and trust in me again. I want to show you what's over the wall. I want to show you that breakthrough is possible. So that last screen that I had up there a minute ago, Jonathan, when you hit the wall, remember, walls block your view. Circle the promise, not the problem. God is often doing far more than you think. Do the God thing, not just the good thing. Good atmospheres, not bad ones, bring breakthrough. And there's no wall that God can't bring down. Amen. Lord, I just pray that you'll just speak to each one of us. It might be a different wall. It might be a different issue. But Father God, we just thank you this morning that there is breakthrough in Jesus. Just thank you for that, Lord. Just thank you for that. Hallelujah. If you feel like you've been facing a wall or an issue in your life, whatever it might be, why don't you just stand to your feet? Whatever that might be, a wall of disappointment, frustration, anger, but it's like a thing that is blocking you and you don't seem to be able to make progress right now in your walk and in your relationship with God. So with eyes closed and heads bowed, why don't you just stand to your feet? I'm just going to pray a really simple prayer. Lord, let the walls come down. I pray for my brothers and sisters. God, it's not easy. I don't pretend it's easy, but I believe it's possible. God, so we just put our hand in yours. in faith and confidence and trust. And Lord, we just say, we believe. We believe. God, I pray that every wall and every issue will no longer separate my brothers and sisters from making progress in you, from moving forward, and from coming into all that you have in your heart for them. I thank you that you are the God of the breakthrough, the way-making God. And I thank you that by my God, I can leap over a wall. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Praise God. Well, perhaps Andy and Amanda can just come back. If anyone needs prayer, then we're available just to pray, but that's the end of the service. So if you need prayer, more specific prayer, you'd value that prayer, then we want to make ourselves available to pray for you. If you want more prayer about that wall or that issue, then we're here. But God bless you folks, and have a great week. Please don't forget to sign up for the hog roast. Grab those tickets that we mentioned earlier on. Lord, we just commit this week to you. And Father, I just want to pray. I don't know. God, this week, would you help us all to see over the wall? Would you help us all to see over the wall? And God, as a church, Lord God, we want to move into all you've got for us as well. Father, I just thank you that as someone once said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And we just love you this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.